This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. The last spontaneous word that Justin Morrell's son Lauren spoke as a little boy was butterfly. Morrell, who is a composer, set out to create a piece inspired by Lauren, who is nonverbal and autistic. That creative process is the focus of a documentary called All Without Words. Now the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra will be featured in an All Without Words live performance on September 20th, a multimedia and multidisciplinary production that will be filmed and recorded. Here to talk about that performance and this recorded interview are composer Justin Morrell and trumpet player John DeVersa. Thank you both for being here today.
Well, thank you for having us.
The Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Justin, tell us a little bit more about your son, Lauren. I understand he knew hundreds of words when he was two, but as the documentary put it, most disappeared within a couple years of that?
That's right, yeah. He developed language as you might expect any kid to develop until around 2 years old. That's about the time that you expect kids to start putting two-word sentences together, and that never quite happened, but he did have... He had a couple hundred words that at least, you know, his mom and I could recognize. Some of them were kind of approximations, but he could ask for things that he wanted, a lot of foods and activities and things like that. And then about a year later, those words were, a lot of them were gone. And within, you know, another 6 months after that, most everything had disappeared. The language was just gone.
You're a musician and a composer whose family tree is just filled with musical people. Tell us a little bit about the musical legacy in your family.
Yeah, I have it on both sides of my family. My dad is a fantastic guitar player and worked in the studios in Los Angeles for many years. And his dad was a guitar player who also worked in the studios in LA, and his dad was also a guitar player. So on my dad's side, it's guitar players all the way through. I'm a guitar player as well, in addition to being a composer. And on my mom's side of the family, her parents were both professional musicians. My grandfather was a songwriter, composer who worked with Frankie Lane for many years in the 30s and 40s and wrote some songs that were recorded by Billie Holiday and Frank Sinatra and pretty much every big singer, performer of that time, you know, would have performed his songs. My mom was a singer. She's a singer. She was part of a girl group called the Mermaids in the 60s when they used to have, they called them girl groups. And they had a big hit called Popsicles and Icicles. My aunt was also a singer on that recording. So yeah, it goes back on both sides and several generations.
How did you expect to pass that along to your children?
Well, before I had a kid, you know, I sort of assumed that, you know, at some point I figured I'd be a parent. And when I had a child, I thought, you know, well, when this kid is 5 years old or whatever it is, at some point they'll start to take piano lessons. Like, I think, you know, everybody should be exposed to music in some way, shape or form. And that's just kind of what that's what I knew. I mean, that's what I thought kids did. And of course, by the time Lauren was 5 years old, you know, we knew that, I mean, not only was language a challenge for him, but he, you know, motor skills were very difficult, ability to understand directions, you know, one step and two step novel directions were always very challenging. So the idea of, you know, having him learn a musical instrument really just was not in the cards at that point. We certainly tried, you know, when he was very young, we'd sit him down at the piano and, you know, I'd kind of like plunk out some notes and he would do a little bit of that too. But that's about as far as it ever got.
And when you started this musical composition, you started with recordings of the sounds that your son makes.
That's right. Yeah. When I had talked to John DeVersa about, you know, collaborating on this project, I knew that I wanted to have my son involved in it in some way, involved in the composition process somehow. And my first thought was maybe I could sit him at the piano and he might plunk out some notes and I could take those notes and turn them into a melody or something like that. But at one point I remember just, you know, he often makes sounds, vocalizations, they can sound kind of melodic. And there was just one particular night when I thought, I'm just going to turn on the voice recorder on my phone and see what I get.
Yeah. We've got a little bit of audio from that.
Oh, great.
So you recorded those sounds, very melodic. How did those inspire you as you continued to work?
Well, at first I just listened to it a lot until I really could hear the melody in there. I mean, I had recorded more audio than just the little snippet that ended up being the melody, but I just spent some time listening to it. And when I first heard that particular moment that became the phrase, the theme for the first half, you know, I lived with it for months, really. I mean, the first thing that I did was I shared it with John and I said, "Hey, what do you think of this theme?" And he said, it's wonderful. Like, let's do this. And so, I spent maybe 6 or 8 months just playing through the theme a little bit every day at the piano, trying to find different things that I could explore with it, different intervals that are in there, different rhythmic gestures, shapes, you know, sort of chords that could be formed from combining different notes of the melody, and trying to really just internalize it so that it felt in a way like it was my own, even though it really is Lauren's melody.
John, you've known Justin your whole life, and you two have grown up making music together. What did you think about this idea when Justin told you about it? What, you know, tell us what you thought of this melody when he shared it with you.
Well, I knew this project as a whole needed to be made. And I, you know, in a more general way, I just love music that has such intense intention. And when the values of that music is of such great purpose. So, you know, with the theme, you know, you can feel on an intuitive level what's behind it, what's in it, what's running through it. And so, you know, and, you know, Justin's brilliance as a composer, he's able to use this simple little motif and then weave it through, you know, 11 different variations after the theme. And so you feel, you know, everything that a human being may feel going through this exercise, going through this experience, within the piece. So I just thought it was a tremendous, opportunity to share with the rest of the world.
Justin, you know, John's trumpet kind of represents Lauren's voice in this composition. Let's hear a little bit of that. Justin, what was your thought process and when choosing a trumpet, this instrument, and of course, John, your very close friend, to represent Lauren's voice in that way?
Mm-hmm. Well, this project really did start out as it was going to be a collaboration from the beginning, because John at one point had asked me if I would write a piece for him and I was like, sure, I'd love to do that. Cause I mean, who wouldn't want to write a piece for John to play? And then when we started thinking about, okay, well, what is this piece going to be like? I mentioned to John that I think that at that point I mentioned to John, you know, I'd been really toying with the idea of writing a piece about my experience as a parent of Lauren and, you know, trying to find a way to explore, you know, the world of autism and our small world of autism, but also, you know, to connect with people out in the community and things like that. And so, you know, it was never a question that John was going to be the soloist for this piece. The idea that he was going to represent the voice of Lauren in a way, which is really what he does throughout this piece, was something that kind of organically just, it just kind of appeared there, you know. And I think for me, I mean, I've worked with John so much over the years, and I trust him so much with anything that I write. I just know that whatever I write for him, he's going to put, you know, just a beautiful kind of magic and depth and transform into something profound that it just wasn't even a question. It was like, I'm going to write this piece and hand it to John, and he's going to do whatever John does with music, and it's going to be fantastic. So it really, there was so little thought really behind it. It was just all felt natural, really.
John, what kind of responsibility was that for you to be representing Lauren's voice in this composition?
It's a huge responsibility. You know, I want to represent my friend well. I want to represent Lauren well. I want to represent the family well, you know, and the different layers of the family as well. And so it's, and you want to find a way to do it that feels like it's, you know, as sincere and as honest and of course, respectful as possible. And, you know, my approach was, I mean, I don't feel that I'm necessarily representing Lauren's voice. I don't think that could ever be the case. But when I was recording these melodies and these parts and these interweavings throughout all the music, it was, the feeling I had more was that I was hanging out with Lauren, you know, and we were kind of doing this together. And I was able to, you know, break, you know, the sound barrier and just create these sound bubbles and let them go out into the world. And he was there with me, just kind of doing it in a way, you know, not physically, but certainly in a spiritual way.
Yeah.
So it's a tremendous responsibility. Yet I feel like I have the blessing of everyone and everyone's trust, and so that fuels me, you know, more than anything.
I want to remind our listeners, we're talking in this recorded interview about the upcoming performance and live recording of All Without Words, a composition by Justin Morrell that's a tribute to his son, Lauren, who is nonverbal and autistic. John, can you explain what will be happening here in Cincinnati on September 20th at Music Hall? It just sounds like there's going to be so much going on.
You know what? I'm trying to figure out what's happening for that night, because it's become such a marvelous, incredible, wondrous production. I think that, you know, both Justin and I are just really taken back with how much thought and care and imagination and creativity has gone into this production, because there's going to be live dancers that are dancing, you know, very appropriately and respectfully and beautifully and artistically to this music. There's going to be, you know, light projections on, you know, on all kinds of different backgrounds. There's a big LED screen in the back that has very well thought out imagery that goes to every variation in a different way. You know, along with, you know, all the lighting and the, you know, all it's a huge production. We're filming that night. It's going to be a filmed event that's released on a separate platform. It's also going to be a live recording that we'll release after the concert as well. So it's become this huge, wonderful event that, you know, everybody in the audience is going to be part of. You know, the audience, you know, the heart of the audience that feels what all this music is about is going to feed everybody on stage, from the dancers to the musicians to the production crew to everybody. And that's just going to be a circuit that goes around and around and around. And you're going to feel that in the film. You're going to feel that in the audio recording. You know, that's where human beings come together and real, like the real magic happens when it's so much larger than any one individual.
Mm-hmm. And John, why the Cincinnati, why the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra for this live performance? Why did you all choose that?
The Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra rocks. That's why. So, you know, the CEO, Jonathan Martin, it's his vision, I know, to make the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra one of the most prominent orchestras in the world. And not only with artistic excellence, but with what they're presenting. They want to create projects that really bring in the heart and bring in, you know, very high production values to bring the audience something new to the symphony experience. And I see what he wants to do there, and I know he's going to do it. And I think he has such an innovative vision. So that's why we want to partner with them as much as possible. And this project is just a perfect fit.
Hmm. Justin, in the documentary, you and John talk about the decision to use people's voices in this performance without having them sing words, but to have people's voices in there. Talk about the reasoning behind that.
Yeah, as I was composing this piece, it kind of got bigger and bigger and bigger as it was going along. I'm not quite sure, you know, I think John was a little surprised when I finished writing the piece and it turned out to be this massive thing, because it's so much, there's so much trumpet playing to do in it and so many different instrumental forces behind it. But there was a point where it felt like that, you know, a choir would add a certain human element to the music that just is not possible with only instrumental forces. And of course, you're writing a piece called All Without Words about the experience of, as a parent of a nonverbal child, it just felt entirely wrong to have text to go along with this piece. And so it became an idea of, you know, how can we create this, how can we bring this sense of humanity, which is really at the core of the mission behind the piece, and also do it in a way that fits the theme and who Lauren is and who we are as a family. And so this sort of non-text choir sound thing was just a way to add this color. And it just was, when we were recording the piece and we finally got the choir in there to sing along with it, it was, I think everybody just sort of looked at each other and said, this is like, this sound is exactly what this piece needs to have. So it, in the end, it turned out to be, I think, exactly the right decision.
Yeah. Did you feel strongly about those voices, John?
Absolutely. I love that idea. Just love it. And it's, you know, what Justin said, it just adds that very direct metaphor of humanity. You know, what's closer to humanity than the actual human voice? And the metaphor of singing these beautiful passages with no words, with no text, is awfully poignant.
Justin, we talked about, you know, this kind of musical family tree that you are a part of. How do Lauren's contributions to this composition, his original melody that you recorded from him, how do they help him kind of fit into that musical family legacy you have?
That's such an interesting question, because I want to be careful not to try to infer that a person's value should be at all based on what they can contribute as a musician, even though those of us that come from musical families often feel a lot of our personal value is wrapped up in what we do musically. So I think it's just a great feeling for me, and I think for my family, that Lauren does get to be a part of that lineage in a way. But I think the really important thing for me is that it really gives the world, you know, outside of our family history, just the world a chance to know who Lauren is and to recognize something valuable about just his being in the world, when he otherwise, you know, will likely not be able to make those connections on his own, you know. I mean, he's an adult now, and, you know, we're trying to think about how, you know, where he's going to spend the rest of his life, you know, probably living with my wife, Jennifer, and I, and that would be wonderful. But, you know, chances are it's just going to be our family unit that really knows who Lauren is. And so this is that rare opportunity to have people think about the fact that there's this person out there that they might probably never get to know, who, you know, is valuable just like any other person in the world.
Yeah. Has your work composing this changed the way you think about Lauren, or changed the way you think about yourself as a parent?
It has done a little bit of both. I would say, you know, there have been times when we've had some really, you know, difficult stretches at home. I mean, Lauren has a lot of challenges. And we as parents, you know, are we're all trying to do the best that we can, but sometimes things are just tough. And there have been times when I've sort of stopped myself and thought about, you know, that moment that I got to spend with him capturing that melody, and what an incredible gift that was. And it's just a reminder that, you know, we all have our good moments and our bad moments, you know, but sometimes if we can just reconnect to those really wonderful moments, it reminds us of our value to each other. And so, yeah, that has had it has had an impact on me for sure.
That's certainly true of parenting. We all have our good moments and our less good moments.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking with composer Justin Morrell and trumpet player John DeVersa. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
The new large-scale multimedia and multidisciplinary presentation of Justin Morrell's Jazz Trumpet Concerto, All Without Words, will be performed on September 20th at Music Hall. Tickets are free, and more information is available on our website, wvxu.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical directors are Will Staffen and Stephen Baum. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.